Procrastination. It's something I think many of us struggle with. Now, here's the thing about procrastination. Procrastination does not mean I'm not doing anything. No, what procrastination means is that I'm doing everything except the thing I should be doing. That's what it is to procrastinate. There's that math problem I should be working on. There's that report that needs completing. I was going to rearrange the cupboards today. I was going to make that challenging phone call. It's time to practice the piano. It's time to spend some time in prayer. I was going to have dinner started by now. Back in the 3rd century, there were a group of men and women that are called the Desert Fathers, and they went into the desert of Egypt. And while there, they discovered the ways in which they encountered sin in this very stark world. The Desert Fathers committed themselves and mothers in a particular way to prayer, to fasting, and to a life of deep simplicity. And while in the desert, they discovered and articulated what we now know to be the 7 deadly sins. The 7 deadly sins are in order the following: pride, anger, envy, greed, gluttony, and lust. Now, if you were counting, you'll say, Father, you do not know how to count. And it's good, true, I was never very good at math. I only mentioned 6 of the 7 deadly sins. And I did that on purpose. For you see, the 4th of the deadly sins, the one that is right in the middle, is the one that we're going to think about this evening. It's known as acedia. Acedia comes from a Greek word that means lack of care. That's what the word acedia means, lack of care. St. Thomas Aquinas defined it with the word spiritual sloth. Now, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, he said acedia is a kind of sadness about things that are spiritual goods. And there's sort of this disgust with spiritual activity. One person described acedia this way: it's the inability to choose the good. It's an affliction of the soul that attacks desire, our desire for the good. Now, here's the thing about acedia. Being sin number 4 on the list of 7, it is the hinge sin. The more we give in to acedia, the harder it is to combat pride, anger, and envy. The more we give in to acedia, the harder it is to combat greed, gluttony, and lust. Now, this is because acedia, of the 7 sins, is what we would call a sin of omission. Something that we did not do that we should have done. That's what it means to commit a sin of omission. And when we give room to this sin, we experience what the Desert Fathers and Mothers called the noonday devil. Now imagine you're in the Egyptian desert. 7 o'clock in the morning, oh, it's nice and cool. The sand, it's not hot yet. But as the sun rises in the sky, and by the time you get to 12 o'clock, how are you feeling? You just want to go into your hut because the intensity of the sun leaves you just feeling this sense of, oh, I just can't carry on. A kind of carelessness, a kind of tiredness. And what the Desert Fathers and Mothers said is, oh, this experience of the noonday sun is like acedia, the noonday devil. That whole sense where we kind of just feel like, I'm tired and I don't care. Now, here's the thing I want you to see. When we give in to acedia, it then leads to us living a life of increasing procrastination, and sometimes we then get distracted. And so if we're online, it might lead us to buy things on shopping channels that we don't really need, but we do it because we're kind of bored. That's the sin of greed. Acedia can also lead us to a kind of boredom, and we try to deal with that boredom by going to the fridge or taking that next beer. That's the sin of gluttony. Acedia can lead us to, again, that kind of desire for a kind of entertainment that we call pornography, that is so prevalent today in our world, and that leads to the sin of lust. Now, here's the thing. If a person is open to the Holy Spirit, there might be a way that he or she actually does feel a sense of guilt for this kind of procrastination, this acedia. But in order to deal with that guilt, we can sometimes become defensive and self-justifying to combat it. That's pride, which can lead us to act and react with frustration and aggression, which is anger. And then at the end of the day, it can leave us feeling dissatisfied with being me, and that leads to envy of others. This sin, I think, is particularly relevant in the 21st century. Because at the very heart of acedia is what we see in today's gospel reading. Three men who have been given talents. Now, you need to remember that a talent is a large sum of money in the ancient world. 5 talents, worth $5 million. 2 talents, the equivalent of $2 million. 1 talent, the equivalent of $1 million. So all three of these guys have been given an immense sum of money by the generous Lord, Master. Now, the first guy takes the 5 talents and he doubles it. And when the master returns many, many years later, he's made 10 million. The next guy has doubled his investment and has made 4 million. And interestingly, the master says to each of these two, "Well done, my good and faithful servants. You have been trustworthy with a few things." But when you think about it, it's not a few things. It was $5 million. It was $2 million. But the master says, compared with what I'm going to entrust you with now, that's small peanuts. But you have been trustworthy with what has been given to you. Now, enter into the joy of your master. The point is this. When we cultivate an attitude where we do the thing that we know we're supposed to do, we experience fulfillment and satisfaction for a job done well, willingly, and purposefully. Now, what about the third guy? Remember, he has been given $1 million. But what's the perception he has towards this master? "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. I was afraid, so I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what's yours." Wow. "You're a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow?" This isn't the master at all. He's not like that in the least. But do you see what's happened with the third guy who's infected by acedia? He transfers onto his Lord what is wrong in himself. It's not the master, it's him who's the thief. That he has taken what's been entrusted to him and he just buried it in the ground and did nothing with it. He has not been trustworthy with the $1 million that had been given to him. And listen to the master's response. "You wicked and lazy slave." There's the sin of acedia. "You lazy slave. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given and will have an abundance. And from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The point of the parable is this. We are called to live our earthly life, these many years that we have been given, with an understanding that ultimately we are accountable to the Lord who has given us the talent of our life. And as the parable makes clear, we do not all have the same ability. But that's not the issue. The issue is, what have we done with what has been entrusted to us in our lives? And often what I think happens to us is, like with that third man, we transfer to God our own dissatisfaction with ourselves. We blame him. We think he's unfair. We think he's unjust, that he's not generous. And what's striking about this third man is in contrast to the first two who enter into the joy of their master. This one is sent into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is Jesus' most regular way to describe hell. But you might wonder, why is he being so harsh? Because here's the point, beloved brothers and sisters. Acedia is soul-destroying, as we see with the third slave. It leaves us feeling indifferent, careless, and it turns our hearts away from God, and we misperceive him. And that is hell. Hearts turned away from God, careless and misperceiving who God truly is. Now, with all this in mind, I want to end my homily this evening by turning briefly to our first reading. This is the very last chapter of a book called the Book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is one of the books that's called wisdom literature. And in the wisdom literature, there are always two roads that we can choose: the road of the wise man or woman, or the road of the fool. The first two men in our parable represent that wise road. The third man represents the fool. But this is what I love about the last chapter of the book of Proverbs. It's not about a guy at all. It's about a woman. And listen again to how this woman is described. A capable wife who can find. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. What does it mean to say that beauty is vain? It's passing. You won't always have it. But what is it about this woman? But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the city gates. Let her works praise her. Come into the joy of your master. If you have a time to do so, I would invite you to read chapter 31 of the book of Proverbs, the poem to this wife. It's a beautiful poem. We didn't hear all of it this evening. And what you'll discover is what governs this woman's life is her fear of the Lord. Now, this does not mean she's afraid of God, but rather she lives her life daily, reverently aware that everything she does in the presence of God. Such reverence motivates her to attend to the things that need to be done with a willingness that shapes her into a woman of loving generosity and purpose. Such a woman does not procrastinate. And she is praised because her life is infused with meaning, because her life is centered in God. May such a woman inspire you. May such a woman inspire me to combat the noonday devil, the deadly sin of acedia. And my hope for you is that increasingly you will know the joy of the Master, whom we choose to serve in reverent love by doing what we need to do next.